This wasn't part of anything. As David was praying, God really pressed me with this. I found a scripture this week. It's right where it's, I know I've read it 1,000 times, just never stuck in my head. But it's so special. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 8, it said, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin, will not attach sin to." That's us, people. Blessed is the person that God will not attach sin to. That ought to be enough right there to keep us all smiling every waking minute we have and praising God for who we are. And He came and got us. We wasn't about getting Him. Another issue. My eyes, I guess it's allergies, are so filmy this morning I can't hardly see. But I want to throw something else in that came from last week's scripture. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 16, it was talking about, "To the pure all things are pure, and to them that are defiled, they are defiled, and their conscience and their heart is defiled." Brought on a thought. I don't know how you feel about yourself, but a fellow asked me last week, and I run into people all the time that talk about this and that and the other, and how strange that it might be that I could be a preacher. And I called him. He won't know what kind of denomination. I said, "Look, I am a representative of Jesus Christ on the face of this earth. That's what I do. And I have begun to think of myself and you guys as an agent of God on this earth. We represent Him to people who don't know Him everywhere we go. They watch us even if we don't know they're watching. They wonder about us even if they don't say anything." But I got in a conversation with a person this week, and I don't know where they are. People, I've learned, people usually didn't twist stuff to me before I got to be called a preacher. But when I became a preacher, people cover up stuff to me. Like we all used to cover up to preachers. You know, just some things you just don't say to a preacher. And I've learned that there's a lot of stuff I can't believe anymore simply because people got everything covered over too pretty. But I want to say this because this person talked to me and I had to tell them this and they didn't like it. So I assume that probably you run into some people like that too, as an agent for God on this earth. And I want to read this to you. I wrote it down so I'd make sure I got it right. I read it back over 3 or 4 times. But it says, sooner or later, as a Christian, you will be confronted by a person who supports abortion and homosexuality and professes to be a Christian. To agree with these issues or to support those who do is not compatible with the teachings of the Bible. I have got a very good Methodist friend, and the Methodist Church is so absolutely goofed up right now, you would not believe it. And I mean, it goes all the way to the top. If a person was such a creature that supported those things, don't have to be one, just to support, because God killed 23,000 people in the tribe of Benjamin just for supporting people who were these kind of people. So if a person was such a creature, their indwelling Holy Spirit would be working overtime to try to correct this attitude in them. Now this goes against everything everybody's talking about now. The elite and everybody around. This whole thing is some big issues. And this honest to goodness got to the place to where people kill babies without even considering it to be murder. You can't do that and live peacefully with God. You can't believe in that and live peacefully with God. So there's a whole bunch of people whose politically, their position, political position, connects them with that. I don't see how they can be a Christian and do that. So anyhow, if you're confronted with that issue, please pray that you will stand for God and stand for His Word and don't be intimidated by today's satanic culture, because that's what it is. Now, to the stuff on the program, if we had a program.
Hey, Joe?
Yes, sir.
Just real quick along that same vein, I talked with the kids last night, we were reading Psalm 118, and with the whole, I guess, cancel culture of today.
Yes.
Of how you get in trouble if you say something, you get in trouble if you don't say something, just not knowing how to act. But anyways, 119 and verse 116 says, "Sustain me according to your word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope."
Amen. Amen.
And that right there is...
Amen.
Is regardless Amen. Of what you say or don't say to somebody, as believers, we have a hope that it doesn't matter what the culture is right now.
It doesn't.
And to not be ashamed
well,
of that hope that we have.
But that's the whole point of being a born-again believer. They have lived in the culture, against most of the culture, from all of history. Thank you. Well, everybody I know doesn't have my outgoing personality, we'll call it that, or big mouth, or stubborn, or whatever it is. But if somebody's not careful, I'm going to tell them what God says. I'm going to tell them straight to their face. And whatever happens after that, it'll just have to happen. But, with that being said, God has so confronted me with things in the last couple of 3 weeks. And this is about another confrontation about the way we're living right now. And people are saying, "Brother Joe, what in the world do we do?" Well, God knows what to do. He told me a long time ago. And I want you to know, if you don't already, know exactly what He said about all this stuff. We'll call this the captivity. The captivity. You know, God chose a group of people. We said 2 or 3 weeks ago, now that we're the chosen of God. And in the end, it's going to be the church that's going to wind up to be the chosen of God. You can put the Hebrews, the Jews, Israel, anywhere you want to. But the ones that will come out on top will be the ones who have believed in Jesus Christ for salvation. But God chose a people. Descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob became known as Israel. God changed his name. So that's the group of people now we call Israelites, Jews, Hebrews. And he gave them a land, Canaan, the promised land. And he gave them freedom in that land to worship him. Are you beginning to see a little bit of an analogy here? He chose a people. He gave them a land. Then he gave them a land that had the freedom to worship him. Is that not the United States of America to start with? And he developed a government for them. It's the whole book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus. And he gave us a government with a constitution to govern us. After a time in Canaan, the Israelites turned on God. So many of them did. And he says, though, that there's always a remnant. I like that word. We're not talking about a piece of cloth here, folks. We're talking about us. He says he always saves a remnant. Regardless of what the most of the people do, there's always a remnant. And I'm here to tell you, the church at Briarfield is a part of that remnant this morning, of people who believe God, who are born again. That's us. The enemy are all around us. Some call themselves reverends. I don't like that word. I don't like to be called reverend myself. A lot of my black friends call me reverend. And it's a strange word for me, but a lot of people call themselves reverends, but they don't preach God or follow God. Their ambitions are for power. You all know who I'm talking about. I don't have to call their last name. You know, you see them on your TV. When you can't see God in a person, you call them the ungodly. Are you surprised at that? Because I'm going to tell you something. After this week, I think from now till the day I die, I will see people alive on this earth as either godly or ungodly. One of the two. And everybody fits into one of those deals for all kind of different reasons. But mainly, the ungodly are there because they may even, like last week, profess Christ, but in their works it said, you can't see Christ. So there are those today who you see, if you cut your TV on a regular basis, that profess Christ, but in their works, it's obvious they do not know God through Jesus Christ. That was that way in Canaan, the promised land. There were people who turned away from God. And in 604 BC, and right in that area, God was punishing his chosen people in Canaan for their unbelief and their lack of obedience to him. And he decided what he would do would to have Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar come to Palestine, what is now Israel, lay siege on the place until he overcame them, cleaned out their temple, carried all their temple treasures to Babylon and put them in his temple. And they captured anybody who in Israel was anybody, and the poor people that had nothing, that wasn't worth anything to Babylon, they left them in Israel and gave them the other people's land. So that's the setting we've got for this situation right now. God was punishing Israel. And as part of their punishment, they were captured and taken to Babylon. Interesting. In Jeremiah chapter 28, And verse 15 is a conversation between the prophet Jeremiah and another prophet in Israel called Hanani. Only two little verses there, but when you find it, if you want to go to 28th chapter of Jeremiah, keep your finger there. We're going to be back in a little bit. This is going to be dealing about some situations you know a lot about. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hanani the prophet, "Hear now, Hanani, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie." This prophet Hanani is lying to God's people that live in God's chosen land. And there are so-called God-sent prophets in the United States of America that are telling God's people a lie if they're fools enough to believe them. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord." Hanani was speaking against the Lord. And God told Jeremiah, "You go tell him I'm going to kill him this year." So Hanani the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. Now, if you will, please, and like I said, if you'll keep your finger there, we'll be back. I'd like for you to turn to Daniel chapter 1. It's a few pages over to the right of Jeremiah. Like the U.S., Canaan had preachers telling lies to God's people. They'd been taken to Babylon to be slaves for Nebuchadnezzar as punishment for not serving God. But here's the deal. He tells them in another place, "Look, I'm going to make you stay there. I sent you there. I caused Nebuchadnezzar to take you and take your country over, clean out your temples because you wouldn't serve me. You're going to stay there 70 years and I'm going to bring you back to Canaan, to your chosen land, to the promised land. I'll bring you back. You only got to serve over there for 70 years. Now let me ask you something. What I've said, it might have been on the minds of some of you. We're in a mess in this country. What are we going to do? What are we as God's people supposed to do, living in a mess with anarchy and people trying to completely tear up the United States and what it's always been? They've got the pandemic. We've got people marching in the streets that say they're for this. And if you go look at this, you find out this is not what they say they're looking for. The Black Lives Matter is a bunch of Marxists. And so many of these other Antifa? They've been around here, y'all, for 40, 50, 60 years. They're not new. They've been causing trouble everywhere. But they got a nest up there in Washington State and Oregon. They're nothing new. In the first chapter of Daniel, we find that part of the people from Israel that have been raised to serve God, some of them that were raised to serve God, that weren't the disobedient, that caused this thing, them to be captured and taken into captivity, was four teenage boys. Now listen. Verse 3, Chapter 1, verse 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed of the royal house of Israel, in other words, and of the princes. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. The Babylonians were Chaldeans. They spoke the Chaldean language. They said, told his eunuch, go get some of the choice people out of Israel, out of the king's family in Israel. Let's bring them in here into my castle and let's treat them different. Teach them everything we can about our science and our knowledge and teach them our language and see if they can't use some of their skill to help our country become a stronger country. Verse 6. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. You begin to recognize these kids now? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You've heard the stories. And I'm telling you this, every time I teach on any of that Daniel in the lion's den or the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, I bring up the fact that this is not about miracles of God. This is not about closing lions' mouths. This is not about Jesus walking around in a furnace with three Hebrew children. This is about what your kids will be in anywhere they go if you raise them to serve God. That is the story about all of this. Don't get caught with all this miracle stuff. The reason there was miracles is because kids who were raised right in Israel to serve God would not bow down to foreign idols and people who didn't believe in God. They kept their allegiance and obedience to God in a country that had nothing to do with God. But Daniel, proposed in himself that he would not defile himself. In other words, he made his mind up in there, you guys can kill me if you want to, but I'm not going to be like you want me to be. I'm not going to do what you want me to do. Because the king had told them, I want them to eat food out of the king's palace and not eat like the poor people out in the land, like the slaves are eating. And Daniel wouldn't do it. The king offered him wine and food that was offered on his table, and Daniel wouldn't eat it, and the three Hebrew children wouldn't either. They asked the prince of the eunuchs to give them a 10-day test to eat what they had eaten in Israel, vegetables and water. And he agreed to do it. He was scared because he's afraid if he didn't eat what the king told him to eat, that when they were presented to the king, that they wouldn't look like they needed to. He gave them 10 days, and when he checked them out, he found out they looked better than all those that was eating the other stuff. And so he let them continue to drink water and eat vegetables instead of what the king wanted them to eat. And in verse 17, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, Then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Now you got to understand something. Nebuchadnezzar at that time is the tallest hog at the trough in the whole world. I mean, this guy's number one. He can do anything he wants to do, and nobody can say anything about it. And they brought him in after 3 years of teaching him and feeding him, and they brought him in to the king to be inspected, to see if they turned out like he wanted them to turn out. In verse 19, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the astrologers that were in all his realm. God blessed them. God blessed them. In a place where God was not even served, he blessed these 4 Hebrew children to the extent that they were smarter than anybody that was in Babylon, the most powerful place in the world at the time. So, here's where we are. We've got 4 kids that were raised to serve God. They were of God's chosen people, living in God's chosen land, under the rule that God established. And here we are. We are God's chosen people. God came to us, offered us salvation. We took it. We have attempted to try to serve God and be obedient to Him. And because of those around us who are ungodly, all this trouble has probably been brought on the United States of America. Now, but wait a minute, God. I've been trying. I didn't do that. I haven't done any of this stuff that we're talking about. I see it on my TV every day, but I've never burned a government building. I've never set fire to a police car. I've never beat a police down. I've never beat a store owner down. I've never looted. I've never marched. I've never caused a problem. Why me? Why have I got to suffer too? Because everybody's going to suffer a little bit if it's nothing other than wearing a mask and not being able to go to town and not be able to come to church and sing at the top of your lungs. Everybody has something. Even God's chosen people, the people who have attempted with all their heart to try to serve Him. Go back to chapter 29. I told you to keep your finger there. Of Jeremiah. Now, before we get to scripture, let me say this. The pandemic has killed some of God's folks. I know a few of them. Some really good people. The riots have killed some of God's people and hurt others too. A lot of people's businesses have suffered. People who don't follow God have brought a lot of suffering on God's people. People who are trying very hard to go God's way. Some folks that belong to God are unsure just how they are living this mess and what they need to do, living in a country that might, and I underline that word might, be being punished for those in the country who don't follow God. I firmly believe in my own heart that's where we are. Now some folks have argued with me. That's okay. That's okay. I got a little different way of thinking, because there's a Holy Spirit living inside of me than everybody that's walking down the big road. So I want you to look over that Jeremiah 29, chapter 4. I mean, 29, verse 4. Chapter 29, verse 4. We were just in 28. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, my chosen people, he said, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. I did this, God said. You don't blame it on nobody else. I did it. Build houses and dwell in them and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take wives and beget sons and daughters and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. What is he telling them? What is God telling his people that he's had? He's responsible for having carried off to be slaves in Babylon. Live as usual. You hear me? Live just like you've been living. Boy, he's going fast. Live just like you've been living, chosen people. Christians, today in 2020, live just like you've been living. Now, you got to be careful. There's certain precautions we're warned about, but that comes under the heading of submitting to the authorities that are over us. That's another part of God's deal, too. He said, if you're going to be obedient to me, you got to be obedient to the authorities that are placed over you. So that's what we've tried to do here as a church. Verse 7. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives. Seek the peace of Babylon, my chosen people, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof ye shall have peace. You want peace? You don't want trouble with all the trouble that's going on? Pray for the country. Pray for this country. And in this country, with all this junk going on, you will have peace. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I love promises in the Bible. Because what God promised, he'll do. I guarantee you that. The 68 years I've been a Christian, he has proven it to me over and over and over. Whatever he says will happen is going to happen. So what do we do? You live as usual and you pray for the United States of America. Because in the United States of America, with all this junk that's going on, you shall have peace. Somebody said, but wait a minute. What if the pandemic kills you? It killed a preacher right across the road here. He's got peace. He's got peace. So you see what I'm saying about? Doesn't say you'll be saved. Says you'll have peace. Be an agent for God among the ungodly. We've got anarchy everywhere. People who have no respect for the authorities and for God. We got many people who want to tear our country down. Many have been in power a long time, and they're rich because of it. That's the swamp, in case you're wondering. That's the swamp that they're trying to clean out in Washington. I don't know how somebody can get a job as a state or state senator, U.S. senator, making $180,000 a year, and 25, 30 years later wound up to be multimillionaires with their own Learjet. You hear me? That's the swamp. And that's the reason they don't want anything changed, because the swamp has made millionaires out of most of them. We're in a beset by a pandemic that kills us, good and bad. What do we do, Lord? Pray for them. For in the peace of this country, you shall find peace. You know, it says over there in New Testament, you pray for the peace in your government so you'll have peace. May not like them. May not like who's in the government, but you pray for peace and you'll have peace. God says that. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says, all things work for good for them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to His purpose. Everything works for good. Doesn't say everything's good. It says everything works for good. So it's going to turn out for good. And the best thing that we can have might be what the world sees as the worst thing. We might die. But don't cry for me. I'll be running down Hallelujah Avenue 90 mile an hour kicking up gold dust. You hear me? I'm serious. Second Chronicles. Some of you several years ago had this on your walls in your kitchen, on your refrigerators. Second Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. It's like I said, maybe you know, maybe you don't. God doesn't hear everybody's prayers. He really doesn't. This book right here tells me that the prayers of a lost man are not heard by God until he prays for God to forgive him. Sarge and Beetle Bailey used to be hanging on that cliff by that root sticking out there, and he prayed. I've seen him pray a lot in my comic strip. God never heard his prayer. A lot of people that we have an opportunity to be an example for don't understand that. Because when they get in a jam, they'll cry out for the Lord like you wouldn't believe. So what is the answer? You watch TV, if you like me, till you get to the place to where you go to stomping and cussing and cut it off and don't want to see it no more. It's that aggravating to see people act like people are acting. What do you do? What do we do, Lord? You pray. You pray for this country, because your prayers are heard. Your prayers are answered. And because of that, if you pray for peace of this country, you shall have peace. That's a promise. Let's pray. Father, there's a lot of us that are trying hard to serve you. And every one of us has got our own problems. And we thank you, Lord, for being able to deal with me in such a personal way. And I know that at that very moment, that maybe there's a quarter million people across the world that you're treating the same way at the same time, and they feel like you're not dealing with anybody but them. I thank you for that, for giving us that confidence, and for promising us these things. And we've learned that you do everything you've promised. So Lord, have your people pray. Lead us to pray. Lead us to represent you on this earth. Lead us to bring people's minds to you and to your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ in a day they would not have otherwise even thought about you. That's all it takes to be a witness, is to point people toward you. So Lord, cause us to do that. Don't let us be ashamed of who we are. Don't let us be mealy-mouthed about what we believe. Don't allow Satan to tempt us to be politically correct. But as you said in John, Lord, your people hear your voice because they're the people of the truth. Lord, cause us to seek out truth everywhere we go and never to believe in untruth. Please, Lord, give us the strength to represent you among the ungodly. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.